Centennial Broadcasting presents Valley Feedback, a look at the people and issues making news in our community.
Welcome to the program. I'm Robert Allen. This week's guest is Virginia Department of Forestry Chief of Operations, Ed Zimmer. Welcome to the show, Ed. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks for having us, Robert.
Let's start with the mission of the Department of Forestry.
All right, Robert, our mission is we protect and develop healthy, sustainable forest resources for Virginians. And that's been our mission statement for several decades now.
You mentioned several decades. How long has the department been around?
We've been around 103 years now. We celebrated our 100th anniversary in 2014, and we were created in 1914, and our first employee was the State Forester of Virginia, Chapin Jones, and for several years, he was the only employee of the office then.
I'm sure y'all have grown a few past one now, right?
Yeah, we've a lot less than we used to be about 20 or 30 years ago, but we're at about 240 employees across the Commonwealth. Most of those are our foresters and our forest technicians who are the key folks who day in and day out deliver the services that we offer to landowners and other stakeholders across the Commonwealth.
I want to talk about fall wildfire season. That's about to begin. When does that run?
Fall wildfire season runs from October 15th through November 30th. A little bit different than our spring fire season in that it's shorter, only about 6 weeks. And there's no 4 p.m. burning law during the fall. So there's no restrictions on burning, but you still need to be as careful as you possibly can doing any debris burning or things like that.
I guess the leaf litter is part of what makes it ideal conditions for wildfires.
Exactly. You know, the reason there's a fall fire season is all the leaves are falling. When the leaves fall, the sun and the heating can get to the forest floor. And then people also are cleaning up their yards and cleaning up the twigs that fall in fall storms and things like that and doing a lot of debris burning. It's important to note that 96% of all our wildfires are caused by human activity, and the number one cause is burning of trash and debris.
What alternatives are there to burning?
Instead of burning the debris, you can, if you leaves and branches, you can turn them into organic mulch, which is a great way to mulch your flower beds, mulch your garden, or trees planted in your yard. And instead of burning trash, a lot of that, paper, food debris, other things, cardboard, all that can be turned into compost. So you can compost that, and again, help the other plants that you have in your on your property, whether it's your garden or your flower beds or your trees. And avoid any danger of a wildfire escaping from your debris burn.
Well, if people are going to burn, what tips do you offer they should keep in mind to do so safely?
Thank you for asking that question. So we really like to stress that. One is don't burn if the humidity is under 30% or winds are going to be more than 20 miles per hour, including just gusts to 20 miles per hour, because it only takes one gust of wind to blow embers and sparks out of your fire and cause some problems. Also, keep your burn pile as small as you can and steadily feed it, but keep it small. Before you burn, try to clear the area around the pile down to mineral soil, you know, down to dirt, get all the leaves, twigs, even half decayed leaves and twigs out of there, because all that can burn and that can hold an ember for a long time if it gets in there. Stay with your fire until it's completely out. That's very important because it doesn't take long for a fire to spread if it gets out. When you're burning, always have a rake or shovel and a charged water hose. In other words, a hose that the water's turned on, but there's a nozzle on it that you're ready to extinguish anything that gets out if it gets out. And keep a cell phone with you and call 911 if your fire gets out of your control. Don't try to fight it yourself, because that's a recipe for, one, it getting bigger, and two, people have had heart attacks trying to do that. So we try to encourage people to call 911 as soon as it gets out.
You can be on the hook for suppression costs, so the longer you wait, the more pricey that can be, right?
Exactly. Folks are, if they let a fire get out through their negligence, they are responsible for the suppression costs, which the smaller the fire is, the lower those suppression costs are going to be, and the less likely it's going to damage anything else. That if it were to get into your neighbor's property or your neighbor's garage, obviously you'd be liable for that too. So we try to keep it as small as possible, and calling 911 as quick as you can is a smart thing to do.
I'm Robert Allen, talking with Virginia Department of Forestry Operations Chief Ed Zimmer. Well, hurricanes have made a lot of news lately. How has the Department of Forestry pitched in?
Well, maintain cooperative agreements both with the Southeast states and the Northeast states. This year, we sent a 20-person incident management crew down to Texas. They were headquartered out of Beeville, Texas, which isn't too far from Corpus Christi, so a little bit out of the biggest part of the destruction and the flooding. But their responsibility was manage an area that was helping distribute food, clothing, water, and other supplies to the most heavily impacted areas.
Well, mutual aid, that's pretty common for forestry departments.
Absolutely. We have mutual aid agreements with localities and fire departments here in Virginia. And we also have those mutual aid agreements with other states. And when we've had major hurricanes impact Virginia, Hurricane Isabel comes to mind, but some others, other states have sent us assistance. We send mutual aid assistance, not just for hurricanes. We actually quite more regularly send it out of state for big fire incidents that other states were having, whether it's Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, North Carolina more recently. So, and then we kind of get reciprocal help when we have a problem too.
Well, the Seedling Store is opening up Monday, October 2nd. Please share what's available.
Our Seedling Store, the Arb Nurseries, produce over 33 million seedlings a year, and we expect to sell as many of all of them if possible. We have 45 species. The biggest chunk of those is loblolly pine trees that are used for replanting areas that have been harvested. But we also have a variety of hardwood species and other pine trees available. And if you're interested, you can visit our website, which is buyvirginiatrees.com, or call our nursery at 540-363-7000 to place an order. And those orders can be as few as 50 trees to thousands of trees if you're doing a major replanting project.
Well, I know it's also the time of year when the department seeks acorn specimens. What is needed?
We're in need of 13 species of acorn or nuts for planting at our two tree nurseries. Specifically, we're looking for black oak, black walnut, Chinese chestnut, chestnut oak, live oak, northern red oak, pin oak, sawtooth oak, southern red oak, swamp chestnut oak, swamp white oak, and willow oak. And these are best collected in a yard or a paved area like your church parking lot or something, not out of the forest, because it's much more likely that the nuts won't get mixed up and get a mixed species of nuts if you collect them, you know, under one large tree. And we'd ask that folks put their acorns and nuts in a breathable bag or a sack, a paper bag or something, not plastic, and to drop off at the nearest Department of Forestry office by October 13th. And it's important to drop them off really as soon as you can after collection. If they sit around a lot, they'll begin to decay. And once the nut starts to decay, they're not viable any longer.
I'm Robert Allen, speaking with the Virginia Department of Forestry Operations Chief Ed Zimmer. Well, state forests, one of the department's charges, how many are there?
There are 24 state forests located all across the Commonwealth, and they range in size from as small as 100 acres to 19,000 acres. And we've got a total of 69,000 acres of state forests, and we encourage people to get out and walk, hike, mountain bike, bird watch, hunt, fish, and canoe on the waters that are in many of those state forests. Some of those activities would require a state forest use permit for people over the age of 16. And the things that require that permit are horseback riding, mountain biking, hunting, fishing, trapping.
You got all those recreational opportunities. Is fall a busy time of year for state forests?
It is. We encourage people to get out and take a look at the fall foliage once hunting season kicks in, which is typically after most of the fall foliage has passed its peak. We would encourage people to still get out there, but be careful. Wear some bright orange. Hunting, unlike on some private property, hunting is not allowed on the state forest on Sundays. So that's another great day to get out there and not quite have to worry about that. We encourage folks to get out and look at the fall foliage, not just on the state forests, but also on other properties throughout Virginia, private, federal, and other state properties. Our fall foliage report comes out each Wednesday during the season, and you can find that on our website, which is dof.virginia.gov, our Facebook page, our Twitter account, which is @ForestryVA, as well as the Virginia Tourism Hotline, which is 800-424-LOVE. And we have on our website 9 forester-recommended driving tours that would be a lot less crowded than the beautiful tour you can get on Skyline Drive. And for Forrester recommended tours close to your listeners are available in Warren, Shenandoah, Highland, Bath, and Rockingham County.
Well, that's great information. Well, we're almost out of time here, but real quick, a recent study found forest land retention can be a big help in meeting Chesapeake Bay cleanup goals. Is that a strategy you think you'll see find roots?
Yeah, we participate in a lot of efforts for forest land retention, including our conservation easement program, where we hold a lot of easements on forested properties. But there's also an ongoing effort to match urban localities with rural localities, where the urban localities have a lot of goals they have to meet with water quality and TMDL goals, matching them with rural counties and encouraging rural counties to retain forest land and kind of sell those credits to the urban areas that need to offset some of their impacts their sewage and other projects are having. And we're working with a variety of partners to encourage that kind of cooperative arrangement here in Virginia, where the urban centers can continue to meet the needs of their citizens and the rural communities can help retain forest land in bigger blocks, which is beneficial for water quality and wildlife and a variety of reasons, and still have the income they need to serve their citizens.
Virginia Department of Forestry Chief of Operations Ed Zimmer, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having us, and please have us back anytime.
You've been listening to Valley Feedback. We encourage your comments on today's program. Valley Feedback is a public affairs presentation of Centennial Broadcasting.